The Irish Times Inside Business Podcast, in association with EY, building a better working world.
Hello, this is Kieran Hancock. Welcome to Inside Business. This week, my guest in studio is aviation entrepreneur Ulrich McAvady. Along with his brother Des, he has established a successful aviation business over the past 40 years called Omega. He and Des also own a large parcel of land beside Dublin Airport. Along with two other landowners, it amounts to 260 acres and was put on the market for sale in the middle of last year. With no sale agreed, they subsequently submitted a concept plan to Fingal County Council to develop the site for a third passenger terminal at Dublin Airport as part of a €2.2 billion development. Ulrich argues that for the same money as DAA is proposing to spend on its own expansion plan, his proposal would allow the airport to expand by an additional 20 million passengers, while solving road access issues and also providing a platform for Dublin to become a hub for sustainable aviation fuel. Crucially, however, he doesn't have access to the runway, something that was an issue for bidders in the land sale process. You'll hear Ulrich address this issue and explain why his plan isn't, as many believe, pie in the sky. Here we go. Ulrich McAvady, thank you for joining us on Inside Business. I thought we might just, before we get onto the airport lands, I thought we might just begin by talking about you, your life, and sort of how you got to this, your career and so forth. You're from Swinford in County Mayo.
County Mayo.
Tell us about that. What was it like growing up?
We never won an Ireland when I was around. Well, I know, it's a nice town. We had a farm down there, so we're farming. My brother and I were farming from an early age, you know.
What kind of farming?
Dairy farming. We had a dairy farm.
This is 1950s Ireland.
Oh, 1950s Ireland, indeed. Yeah.
Not a lot going on.
A lot of activity in the farm. A lot of activity.
Yeah. And from there later, you went on to the Irish Army. You were an officer in the Irish Army. So how did that come about?
We were both in boarding school, and I always fancied the Army. I had lots of friends the Army guys who were ex-students at Garbury Park would visit on a regular basis. And I said, I like this idea. So I joined the Army.
What year was that?
God, what year was that? 1972.
Right. And what condition was the Irish Army in at that stage?
Well, we had the troubles in Northern Ireland, as they were euphemistically called. So we were all on sort of high alert on that particular time. But, you know, it was a tranquil enough time otherwise, you know. There were certain high tensions in international politics, particularly with the Russians and the Soviet Union, as it was then, causing trouble around the world, and they're still doing it. So nothing has changed in that respect in the last 30, 40, 50 years.
And Aeroflot used to use Shannon Airport as a stopover.
They did indeed, yeah. They flew into Shannon and they had a storage facility there. Aeroflot were a good airline. They were, you know, particularly adept at flying to South America and Cuba and places like that. So certainly it was a military job to look after what cargo they were bringing through Shannon Airport. That was done.
Was that your gig?
No, not really. Not mine, no. Friends of mine involved in the monitoring their cargo through Shannon.
So what was your role in the military? You were a captain, weren't you?
Yes. Well, the Army School of Recruitation was my preeminent love. It was what I liked doing most. And my boss was a very nice guy called Colonel Bill Ringrose.
Very well known in show jumping circles.
Yes. And Colonel Ned Campion after him. Both of them very famous show jumpers. But I never made the grade to the Olympics.
Right.
So that was that.
But you were a show jumper?
Yes. Yeah.
And did you get to ride at Dublin or what kind of shows?
I rode a few times in Dublin and mostly country shows. We go all over the country, right? Shows and that, you know. We put the presence of the Army Equitation School in various shows around the country. It was good for the industry, you know.
And Irish bred horses.
Well, it was a very important industry for us, and it's now a mega million-dollar industry. So it wasn't in those days, but now you wouldn't buy a good show jump for less than €1 million.
Yeah, and it used to be the case that for the Nations Cup, it was only military teams that were representing countries. That changed
a lot, long time ago, because essentially the military didn't have all of the monopoly on talent that they used to have when it was cavalry and all that. So they were the, how would I say it, in the early period of the state, they had the horse cavalry. That all went, of course, now. So it's a totally different landscape.
Okay, very competitive. So when did you leave the Defence Forces?
Oh, God. I spent about 15 years there and had enough at that stage.
Right. And you set up Omega.
My brother and I set up Omega.
Yeah, an aviation
services. In 1982.
Services. It's an aviation services group. Just explain
That's right.
to us
Well, we leased airplanes around the world and we decided that the military didn't have enough air refueling capability, so we designed and built a tanker for exclusive military use. They liked it so well, they employed us 20-odd years ago, 24 years ago now, and we're still working with the US military.
Okay. So how big is Omega?
We're not a large company, you know. We'd have about 100 employees in the US, maybe about 50 here.
Right. And you've offices in Washington and Antonio?
Yeah, Alexandria and San Antonio, Texas.
San Antonio in Texas, yep. Okay. How big are you in revenue terms?
We're small, yeah.
So tell us how you got involved in a land holding beside Dublin Airport, which has been much reported now over the past year.
Yeah, well, when you look at Dublin Airport, it's the most uncongested airport in Europe, and there was an opportunity to make it into an international European hub. And we couldn't understand why the DAA would not, or the Aerient, as they were then, grab all the land between the two runways, well, the proposed runway and the one active, and develop a proper hub. So when we bought the land.
What year was that?
1996.
And how much did you pay?
I'm not going to disclose that.
And how many acres?
We have, in total, we have 126 acres there between
That's the between you and Des?
Yes.
Okay. And there's a couple of landowners beside you?
There are landowners who want to pitch their tent with us, and we are trying to help to develop a mega hub there using their land and ours.
So I think that's 260 acres in total.
It's about 262 acres in total.
Last May, you put the land up for sale.
We put them up for sale. We offered them the DAA 2 years ago, said, look, you want to buy these lands, they're yours, and we don't mind, we're not going to be extortionate on the price. You can have them valued and you can actually arbitrate on the price. They declined the offer. So we said, okay. So we put them on the international market, and quite a number of people expressed an interest in joining us in developing Terminal 3 at Dublin Airport. And we're still talking to all those people about options.
Did anybody express an interest in buying the land?
Oh, yes. There were several companies with certain interest, but they were all subject to planning permission. And that's why we're going for planning now.
And Dublin Airport bid, didn't it?
Well, Dublin Airport are going for planning with their own incremental increase.
I mean, just to geolocate it for listeners, your land is to the west of the runway and the terminal buildings that are already there.
It's between the two runways, but it's to the west of the existing terminal, behind the control tower.
Terminals. Yeah. Okay. And it's farmland at the moment.
At the moment it's
grazing
farmland.
Cattle.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. But it's zoned for airport-related development.
Sure. And Dublin Airport it's been quite public. Kenny Jacobs said that they did make an offer. And it's been reported that the offer, I mean, there's been various prices put in it. I've seen between 70 and 80 million euro, but that kind of ballpark.
It was inadequate, let's put it that way. So we carried on with our planning application.
So was that the ballpark?
It was, yes. It was.
And how much were you looking for? What would have tempted you?
Look, I'm not going to negotiate on the radio. You'd appreciate that, Kieran. But essentially, we had said to them, arbitrate on the price. We're not going to screw you on the price if you want the land. So I hope they have the vision to understand that what we can do here. You see, we're the uncongested airport of Europe, and we can create a European hub with sustainable aviation fuel as the primary source of energy for the aviation industry. It's a must-have for the aviation industry in the next 10 years. 2030 is the deadline for a certain amount of sustainable aviation fuel. Ireland has probably the best wind power offshore to develop hydrogen with offshore winds. So we could be the preeminent country for sustainable aviation fuel because we have a very low cost of getting hydrogen. Now, there's also technology for removing carbon from the atmosphere and using that carbon as a mix with the hydrogen. And that, again, is technology that's developing and evolving very quickly.
Okay. I'm just curious about the sort of evolution from putting the land up for sale last May and submitting that concept plan to Fingal around the turn of the year. So just in terms of the land sale, is it no longer for sale?
Land is for sale.
It
land
is for sale.
Okay. We're not saying that. What we're saying is we're looking at all of the options here, including getting planning permission for Terminal 3.
Yeah.
And other developments on the site, like there's a cargo terminal. Remember, the DAA and their plans submitted to the Fingal County Council that they're going to demolish the cargo terminals and hangars to build this extra 8 million capacity. But there's no facility for cargo left then if they do that. So that has to be catered for. So a cargo terminal is very feasible in our lands, plus Terminal 3.
Can I just ask you about that, about this move to development, essentially, or trying to get permission to develop? Because you did a very interesting interview with Linda Daly of the Sunday Times, Ireland edition, last July. And in it you said you gave the reason for putting it up for sale being your advancing years.
Yes.
And you said, I'm 70, Des, your brother, is 69, that's where we're selling. I may not have another 5 years to get through court and do the battle for planning for a private terminal. First and foremost, though, it's in the national interest that we don't hold it up any longer because we're at capacity at the airport. And yet, you know, roll on a number of months.
Right.
And that's precisely...
Okay, Kieran, that's very easily explained. We looked at the DAA's plans for to increase the capacity of Dublin Airport from 32 million to 8 million. First of all, I don't believe they're feasible and that the planning authority will accept them because they cannot solve the M1 congestion issue except by coming off the M2, which is what we're proposing with Terminal 3. The dual carriage will come from the Cherryhound interchange on the M2 as per the plan of 2006. Now, the DAA, remember, know that this cap was in place for 17 years. Meanwhile, the passenger traffic through Dublin Airport has increased by 14 million.
Yep.
So they weren't.
So I suppose just to set the background for listeners, there's a cap at Dublin Airport of 32 million, which the DAA is now having to adhere to because it's effectively at that ceiling.
Yes.
And that was put in place back in.
They're over the ceiling.
That was put in place in 2007 by the Planning Authority because of concerns about how people would arrive at the airport.
Road congestion.
Too much road congestion, etc.
And that's why Fingal County Council provision for the M2 Cherryhound interchange, which is directly related to the airport.
Okay. But in addition to that, they also put in a nighttime flying restriction around a second runway, essentially, or a new runway at Dublin Airport. That's also in place, and that was part of a planning permission, I think, dating back to 2007 as well. They're trying to get those two restrictions lifted. They've put in a very big infrastructure plan, a major one, broader than just getting the cap lifted from 32 million. That was in December of last year. It was thousands of pages, I think, of documentation that they submitted to Fingal County Council. It's a big, big plan, and their plan is to increase it to 40 million passengers, and they say that can be done through the two terminals that are existing.
Look, it can, yes. But look, what I think should happen, I have sympathy for the cap being lifted, but why were they asleep for the last 17 years and failing to plan for the inevitable rise in traffic? We'll be at 40 million passengers. If the cap is lifted, we'll be at 40 million passengers per year within 2 to 3 years. So putting on 8 million passengers is only an interim step to going to doubling the capacity of Dublin Airport. For the same 2.2 billion, we can build a terminal and bring the motorway in from the Cherryhound Interchange M2, solve the traffic problem and double the capacity of the airport for the future. It's really the future. What do the Irish people want? Forget about what the McAvatys want. What does Ireland Inc. need? And that is a state-of-the-art terminal capable of going to 50, 60 million passengers. Because that's what there will be in 20 years' time.
So how many passengers would your proposed terminal hold?
Well, what we're suggesting is incrementally increasing by 30 million passengers. In other words, we could double the capacity of the airport with what we've
over what time frame?
Over a period of, well, it'll take 5-6 years to build it, but over that period, you'll need that capacity.
So your terminal would hold 30 million
About
passengers?
About 30 million passengers in the plans we have.
And when do you see, so that would bring the capacity to over 60 million at the moment. If Dublin Airport doesn't do anything, DAA doesn't do anything with Dublin Airport. So at what point do we reach 60 million passengers, do you think?
Well, it depends on how quickly we can roll out sustainable aviation fuel. If we're the preeminent airport in Europe with sustainable aviation fuel available, all the carriers across the globe, the international carriers that have to use, they won't be able to use hydrogen as a pure source of, it's only the short hauls that will be able to use that. So that the big guys coming across from the Pacific Atlantic would find Dublin a convenient stop where they can take on the sustainable aviation fuel to return to wherever they've come from. So I think the attraction of having sustainable aviation
fuel... It becomes a stopover.
It'll be a destination. And then the short haul airplanes can bring the passengers to the various European hinterland.
Do you think Asian airlines are going to stop?
Oh, absolutely. Anyone that can get sustainable. There is going to be an obligation on the airlines regarding sustainable aviation fuel imposed by the European Union. So we can't sleepwalk into not realising that.
Sure. But in terms of you putting 30 million passengers through your terminal building,
30 plus, yeah.
So by what time frame? By what year do you think you'll be at 30 million?
I'd say it'll be your 7, 8, 9.
7, 8, 9
Our studies have shown less than 10 years.
Less than 10 years.
Yeah.
So by 2034.
Correct.
We could have 60 million passengers.
Well,
the capacity
from the time
for
it's built, yeah. From the time you take, subtract 5 or 6 years off it for the construction and opening of it, and then take another 5 years, add it on to that, and you probably find you're there.
10 years. Okay. Well, that's assuming, obviously, that building will start tomorrow, but
correct,
that's not going to be
the
case.
Yeah.
All right. So it sounds like it's a bit further out. Maybe 2040 might be a more, would that be a more realistic?
No, I know. The growth will be exponential. As we've seen already, growth in an uncongested airspace hub like Dublin will be exponential.
Okay.
How can harnessing the power of AI help drive your business? At EY, we combine leading business expertise with cutting-edge technology and capabilities. Working directly with you to plan your strategy, we will accelerate your AI-enabled transformation. To learn more, visit ey.ai/IE.
Now, there's a lot of ifs, buts and maybes in this plan, because obviously you've submitted a concept plan to Fingal. Just tell us, what exactly is a concept plan? Just
it's a very detailed concept plan. It's not a simple concept plan. It's actually showing where we're going to put cargo terminal, MRO terminals, all that type of thing, and Terminal 3.
Mm.
And showing sufficient capacity to be allowed to expand Terminal 3 to go for more passengers.
But the term concept plan is one that you've applied.
Well,
the
architects drew it up with international.
It's not an application for planning permission.
It is, yes, it will be. It'll evolve.
It's not at the moment.
At the moment, we're going to meet with Fingal County Council to discuss the concept, right? And discuss the road infrastructure that's vital for this development.
Mm.
That road infrastructure is the key to further developing Dublin Airport. Without the road infrastructure, you're going nowhere.
When do you next meet Fingal?
We're supposed to meet them in May, sometime in early May.
Right. And where does it go from there then? What do you expect?
Well, then we will have the environmental impact statement ready to go, and we will have, we'll listen to what they're saying about what they think, because they are the planners after all. Remember, this master plan is their master plan, not ours. In 2001, John Tierney was the county manager, and he said to the DA and to us, who were at the time, you keep out of the way. We're the planners. We're going to do a master plan for Dublin Airport. They employed international experts, Sedgwick Owens Merrill, Stanley and Associates, project management out in Ireland, and they put together what is now the master plan. It was adopted into law by Fingal County Council in 2006. And nothing has changed in that master plan since 2006. The DA were well aware of that. So were the government. Shane Ross, as Minister Commissioner studied by Oxford Economics, they recommended that by the time the airport had reached 70% capacity, which was about 4 years ago, well, 5 years ago, they should have plans in place for Terminal 3.
Mm.
They also recommended that an independent terminal would be a possibility and advisable. And they said that the easiest, cheapest and less disruptive place to build a new terminal is west of the cross runway.
Okay. Now, in your discussions with Fingal might say, well, this is a very fine concept that you've developed here, but you've no access to the runway. How are you going to get access to the runway?
Well, that's either being negotiated. We're entitled to access the runways under what they call European Essential Facilities Doctrine. That's a well-established principle in Europe. And it's also what allows the national grid to take on power from various suppliers. So it's nothing new. And there's no different at Dublin Airport to the national grid.
But you're going to have to argue that case. You don't have access to it at the moment.
We don't, but we're entitled to it. If we have to try that in court, we'll try it in court.
Mm.
If we have to. But it may be that we negotiate the access and the Commission for Aviation Regulation could decide on the value of that access. The Competition Authority will have a say in the matter too. They've already rejected the DA's request to buy a car park at Dublin Airport, which they were paying $1.7 million an acre for. And they rejected that on the grounds of competition. Now, essentially, from our perspective, the real competition is a competing terminal. So even if the DA did want to buy our lands, would the competition authority allow us to sell? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It's a question worth asking.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this plan has been hatched over many years, hasn't it? You bought the land in 1996. And,
correct.
We used a photograph recently in a story about
I
your
had
latest
no grey hairs, Kieran,
plan.
This is all got the grey hairs come from.
And you had a big image, computer-generated image of how a third terminal associated parking spaces for aircraft might look. That was in 2003. Here we are 21 years on, and you're no further advanced with that plan.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Kieran, the Irish people are suffering because of that. The vision has to be to double the capacity of the airport. And if they don't have that vision, well then, Irish economy will stagnate. Remember, this is our preeminent city for the
now,
Irish.
DAA, I know, they feel that they can get, I think, 50 million people through their two existing terminals with a bit of tweaking and so on and so forth. And that they could build a third terminal when required, when needed. And that it would be better to build that close to where the two existing terminals are at the moment, which is on the opposite side of the of the site to your plan.
The error here is that the Oxford Economics report said the congestion on the motorway network is got to be solved. The only way to solve that is to bring the new terminal in off the M2 motorway with a dual carriageway. That's what our plan is, and that's what the Fingal County Council plan of 2006 said. That has to be done to alleviate congestion.
What about Metrolink? Will that not help alleviate congestion?
That will certainly help, but that will be 10 years away. So by the time Metrolink arrives, it will be a great addition, but unfortunately it will be too late.
But you know this is going to happen in the next 10 years if it's you or DAA building these facilities.
But look, we can't allow the Irish economy to stagnate because we're not thinking properly. We need to have the vision for the economy to grow, and the airport must grow exponentially with it. Otherwise, we're in a backwater. Sustainable aviation, if you like I said, is the future of aviation. Otherwise, it's not going to be feasible.
Have you met the Minister for Transport and Green Party leader, Eamon Ryan, to discuss this plan?
I have met him previously, yes, not since he became Minister
What's his
for Transport.
View on it?
Well, to be honest, I only know what he says publicly about why don't we move to Shannon. Shannon isn't feasible as an alternate to Dublin. Most people who want to come to Dublin want to go to Dublin, or they're not coming. So it's not feasible to say alternate airports are going to work.
What about Cork?
They want to be in a hub where people can connect to the European hinterland. But and Dublin is that hub.
From an environmental point of view, how sustainable is it to grow to essentially double the numbers coming through at Dublin Airport? Because it will lead to, whatever way you splice it or dice it, it will lead to a lot more traffic. We'll have to build more car parks. It'll lead to a lot more aircraft landing. At the moment, they're fossil fuel guzzling aircraft. We don't have a ready supply of sustainable
aviation
fuel.
No, and that is what has to be, that is the priority that we need to change, is to create and manufacture sustainable aviation fuel for Dublin Airport, so that they become the preeminent hub for Europe for sustainable aviation. And that is a goal that the government should embrace. In actual fact, the National Aviation Policy has a goal of making Dublin Airport a truly international hub. And that's a stated policy of the National Aviation Policy.
But how feasible is it for Ireland to
develop enough
sustainable aviation fuel to fuel the global industry?
Oh, it's very feasible because we have the best offshore winds of any country on the Western seaboard.
And yet we've only a very small number of offshore wind turbines.
We have right now, but I think that's going to change. You see, Vice Admiral Mark Millett has now taken up the chairmanship of that regulatory authority to try and produce more offshore wind for electricity generation, and from electricity generation for the creation of hydrogen, which is a part of the sustainable aviation fuel requirement, you know? So I think there's a lot of future with the vision for correct.
That's a long way away, though, isn't it?
No, it can be a long way away if people do nothing. But if they do actively work to produce sustainable aviation fuel here, we will win.
But, and you're probably right, but the reality in Ireland, in terms of how long it takes to get anything done, is that it's years and years and years
Metrolink,
away.
Metrolink, for example.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember years ago when the late John Bruton was Taoiseach, I said, God, Taoiseach, you got to build the link to the airport. He said, you're absolutely right, it should be a priority. But it keeps shifting, And this is what's happening at Dublin Airport as well. I mean, the DAA knew and the government knew that the priority was to build Terminal 3. but nobody did anything about it. And that's why they're in the problem they're in today.
There have been a few bumps along the road. I mean, people tend to forget we were in a troika bailout between 2011 and 2013. I mean, people were leaving the country, not coming to the country that time. And then we had COVID.
The recovery, if somebody, I think Leo Varadkar, when he was resigning as teacher, said if he had predicted the recovery better, he'd have planned better for the recovery. And I think that's true. But the recovery has been astronomically fast. And the recovery from both the financial crash and from COVID. So I do think that we need to plan for a vibrant economy, but that is going to entail having a vibrant connectivity with the hinterland of Europe and North America.
So your plan, you've costed a 2.2 billion euro.
Roughly, that's it, yes.
How would you finance it?
Funny enough, that's the easiest part of it once we get the planning in place.
Even in a high interest rate environment?
No. A lot of infrastructure funds are very interested in financing this at a very low rate. The infrastructure rate's surprisingly low, 4.1%, 4.2%. The people who built the airports across Vancouver, and they have interest rates as low as 2.2% for infrastructure. You know?
So they'll finance it without having access to their own money?
Not, they finance it with international institutions like that have infrastructure funds. Yeah. Infrastructure funds have a huge interest in funding this terminal.
Sure, but presumably you would have to have access to the runway in place first.
Absolutely, yes. You can't build a terminal in a bog if you have no runways nearby, so there's no chance of access.
So is there an element of putting the cart before the horse here in that you're going to the planning authority with a concept for how this might look, etc., and you'll develop out your plan and try and seek permission for that before you have access to the runway?
No, Kieran, no. This is the vision for the airport, and unless you buy into the vision for Dublin Airport, well, then it's not going to go anywhere. But the vision is very clear-cut, and it's been endorsed by the Oxford Economics Report, Indicon Report, both commissioned by the Department of Transport. So we're not ploughing a lonely furrow here. We're saying we're doing what, A, the Master Plan for Fingal County Council says, B, what Oxford Economics says, and C, what the Indicon Report says. So all of the things, the studies that were done endorse what we're doing.
And what about DAA? Have you had negotiations with them about access to the runway?
No, we've talked about it. In fact, Kenny Jacobs said publicly that there was no problem about access to the airport because he realises that under European Essential Facilities Doctrine, they have a certain obligation. The costing of that will be something that he'll have to deal with, whether the Commission for Aviation Regulation take it on or the Competition Authority, or whether we have to go to court is what the issue is, you know?
DAA has also let it be known that it would not build a third terminal. If it owned the lands, it wouldn't be putting a third terminal there.
Well, I'm afraid that is the big misinformation junket that's coming out of there. They know that there's no choice but to build Terminal 3 there. They can deny it all they like, but they would, wouldn't they? But that is what every advice has said. Terminal 3 goes on that land. So they're denying the Oxford Economics Report, they're denying the Fingal County Council Master Plan, they're denying Indicon Report. All of these reports have endorsed what we're saying.
Yeah, reports are fine, but I mean, they run the airport.
They do, but
nobody has more experience in running Dublin Airport than DAA, to be fair.
The government owned the DAA, and it's up to the government what they decide. The national aviation policy.
Yeah, they have their own analysis of how the asset can be best used. It doesn't really matter what Oxford or Indicon or anyone else is.
When they put in their plans to the Commission for Aviation Regulation as to how they're going to expand to 55 million passengers, they put all the terminal development on our lands. I have the map they submitted to the CER in 2019. They briefed it across Europe. Dalton Phillips, the Dublin chief executive, briefed it in London, Paris, Brussels, Dublin. So they briefed their expansion on our lands without owning them.
But there's a new sheriff in town and his name is Kenny Jacobs.
Yeah, but the new sheriff can't change the dynamics of the fact. And that is the facts of the matter. Facts of the matter are, and they know the truth. They know they need the lands. But they're happy to play silly buggers at the expense of the Irish people.
Are they far off with their valuation?
Way off.
Way off?
Yes.
Right.
Well, I mean, for example, they paid 1.7 million an acre for a car park, and this is vital lands. Sure. A car park wasn't.
True, but car parking is a huge revenue generator.
Yes,
for
it is. It is. You can build a car park anywhere. You can build an awful lot of car parks.
Well, not without planning permission. I mean, what are the chances of being allowed to build another car park at Dublin Airport? Regardless of whose plan comes along.
It has to be done, but it has to be traffic off the M2. So a car park could be built. It will be built on our lands off the M2. No doubt about that.
Yeah. It just seems kind of counterintuitive to everything that's going on in this city at the moment, you know, banning cars in the Keys and that and the other, you know, more bike lanes, more public transport, bus connects and so forth, extending the Lewis, extending the Dart, that they would want yet more traffic to come to Dublin Airport. They would want an extension off the motorway, more car parks, more cars.
Well, if you want to look at it in that respect, I mean, you might as well shut down Ireland's economic engine. So we're not going to do that in a few. We're trying to do it in a sustainable way so that we're not creating a huge carbon footprint, and aviation can lead the way on that with sustainable aviation fuel. We're actually taking carbon out of the atmosphere to help build this fuel.
But is it sustainable for people, for 6 million people to be going through Dublin Airport? Do people need to travel abroad as much as they do? Do we need to bring in as many tourists as this might suggest, or business people, etc., as this might suggest,
well,
at a time when we're trying to save the planet?
Yeah, but you tell that to the hotelier down in the west of Ireland who relies on tourists to come in from North America and Europe, and he won't be long about turfing the government that says that out to him, to him out. You know, the public have, first of all, a right to economic development. And secondly, they have a right to a sustainable economic development. So it'll be all down to the word sustainable. And that's where the future for us is, that Dublin could be the preeminent sustainable aviation hub in Europe. Paris Charles de Gaulle, they don't have the capacity for storage of sustainable aviation fuel there. Neither does Amsterdam. Well, Schiphol might have some chance, but Paris Charles de Gaulle certainly doesn't. So it'll all have to be piped in from outside. That's possible too. But the whole availability of sustainable aviation fuel will determine the future.
I'm sure the Chinese could do this in a heartbeat.
Chinese?
They don't seem to have the same planning angles as we have here.
I won't be dealing with the Chinese on this. That's for certain.
Mm. Why can't the Americans do it?
We're talking to American venture capital funds, yes.
Yeah, but why can't they do it in America? I mean, they're fracking.
They are doing it. They are doing it. I mean, right now, United Airlines has signed up $1 billion sustainable aviation fuel contract with a company in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And what they're doing is they're taking carbon out of the atmosphere, mixing with CO2 and producing the SAF for United. And all the airlines are going to proceed in that fashion.
Yeah. You make it sound very simple. And
it's not simple. It's not simple, but it's doable.
Is it economical?
No. It's sustainable aviation fuel right now will be 4 times the cost of Jet A1. But what is the climate damage continuing to use Jet A1 is not feasible. So we have to find an alternative. Even though it's more expensive, the ticket price will go up 10% maybe or whatever. But it's still better than damaging the climate.
So you're meeting Fingal next month?
Next month, yes.
Let's say that goes well. You get positive indications from them. Your next step then is to...
Well, our next step would be a full-blown... They already have... We have to listen to what they have to say about a full application. So we listen to them, take notes from what they say, and we'll proceed accordingly then. Adjust our plans to their requirements.
Right.
It's not our requirements, it's their requirements we're going to meet.
Okay. And so when would you anticipate then that you would submit a planning application?
Probably a full planning application... 6 weeks. I said 6 weeks, but now the meeting with Fingal has been pushed out, so it could be 8 weeks.
8 weeks. Within eight weeks post the meeting with Fingal. Do you have a date for the... What's the date for the Fingal meeting?
I think it's the 12th of May now. I don't know.
12th of May. So we're talking about mid-July.
Oh, yeah.
That you would then be submitting. Yeah. It sounds like an awful short time frame.
And it's not actually, because our architects and engineers and the town planners, CWPA, they're already in the process of finalising the various documents that go with our planning application.
So Dublin Airport's application, infrastructure application, which was submitted last December, the AA has said it expects to take 2 years. And that could be a lot of people think that's an optimistic time frame. But let's go with the DEA time frame of 2 years to get it through the gap, as it were.
So if they get it through.
If they get it through, absolutely. So using that as an indicator, It would suggest that your application would take at least 2 years if you get through the gap.
Well, remember, we're conforming to the Fingal County Council development plan. So we have an easier route if we're doing what they want us to do. We're conforming with the Oxford Economics requirements, which all of the things we're doing is along the government planning guidelines. So DEA's plan is contrary to that because they're not solving the road infrastructure issue. And they're adding, quite frankly, a very expensive sticking plaster solution to their existing terminals. And I don't believe it makes economic sense. Like, why would you spend $2.2 billion to increase the traffic by 8 million passengers when you could spend the same $2.2 billion and double the capacity of the airport? It makes no economic sense.
But would you agree that for Fingal, if you're in the shoes of Fingal, the sequencing of all of this is decidedly odd? Because on the one hand, you're already sitting down and assessing an infrastructure application, a massive application from DAA to expand the capacity to 40 million and expand other facilities and put in place facilities to further expand it down the road.
Okay.
You're also, just let me maybe finish the point. And then you've got Metrolink coming in, and that's, you know, that's still some years away, let's face it. And then you've got this private application from a third party, if you like, also to expand Dublin Airport potentially, way beyond what the DAA is proposing, and it doesn't even have access to the runway.
Look, it's very simple. The DAA plan to put 8 million passengers is no economic feasibility. You take it, they're going to demolish a cargo terminal, demolish hangars to expand the passenger traffic by 8 million, where the Oxford Economics Report says it's cleaner, easier and less disruptive to the travelling public to go west to Terminal 3 between the runways.
Sure, but I'm just
every
saying
report
that...
report says that, but they're ignoring
from
that.
From the point of view of Fingal County Council, this is a rather odd sequencing.
I don't think it's odd. I think what DEA are doing
is not paying attention
to what the teacher is telling them. They've been told since 2006, this is where you're going to expand. They're ignoring that. And they're plowing on with their own
But you talk about teacher. I mean, the government has come out in support of the DEA's...
They've supported the lifting of the cap.
Yeah.
That's different to allowing them to build, demolish and build terminal capacity. I would say that the real problem for DEA is the road traffic scenario. If they could solve that, I don't think they need terminal capacity. The terminals actually would probably be stretched, but they would probably survive for 6 or 7 years while Terminal 3 was built. The proper front door, a new front door for Dublin Airport with proper access from a motorway that's uncongested. That's where the key lies in my view.
But still, it is a bit odd, isn't it, that Fingal is going to have two applications on its table.
I'll tell you what's more odd is that the DEA have consistently ignored the cap for 17 years. That I find extraordinarily odd, Kieran. I mean, why would you do that? Knowing that there's a train coming down the tracks at you of 40 million passengers. I mean, all their reports said you're going to have 40 million passengers by 2030. Now, what have they done to provide for that? Nothing. They've
sleepwalking.
Sleepwalking.
Yeah, okay.
And that's a pity because Ireland Inc. deserves better from our national institutions.
Is your plan?
Plan for the future.
Yeah. Some would say your plan is pie in the sky. What would you say? How would you respond?
My response is I've studied for long enough to know if not pie in the sky is the right solution. And so does Oxford Economics. They agree with our plan. Oxford Economics are the guys who were commissioned by the Minister for Transport, the Department of Transport, to report on it. They endorse what we're suggesting.
They've endorsed your latest concept plan?
No, they haven't been asked. That was 2018. Okay. But we're following the...
And is $2.2 billion a realistic figure to put on the development of your...
We believe it is. We believe it is.
Given that Dublin Airport is talking about spending the same money.
But they're demolishing... Less. Remember, they're demolishing existing infrastructure. Not only are they demolishing that infrastructure, they have to try and do it with minimum disruption to the public.
Bringing an extension from the motorway.
Yes.
And presumably you're going to have to put in all of the infrastructure on site to get access to the runway, presuming you're granted it.
Yes.
And you have to put in car parks and hotels.
The motorway is going, well, that'll be an extra, that's not the hotels.
That's not part of the two.
No, it's
so
not part
what does the $2.2 billion cover?
It's basically for the cargo terminal and for the passenger terminal.
And for the passenger terminal,
yeah.
Okay. So no car park?
Well, it would be a car park as well. Car park is a given.
Right. But no ancillaries like hotels or...
No, that'll be there'll be add-ons in a master plan, you know. They're there in the master plan, but they're not costed yet.
So if it takes you 2-3 years to get that plan, you mightn't get the planning permission, but let's say...
Oh, well, let's be optimistic.
Let's say it does. You're 71 in September.
Yeah.
Do you think you'd be the man preparing to build?
We'll have partners that'll take up the vacant challenge and go forward. We're not worried about my longevity. I'm talking about the future for Ireland Inc. My longevity's got nothing to do with that. It's really the future for your children.
It's not about the McAvaddies, it's about Ireland Inc.
Yeah, it is about Ireland Inc, really. And doing the proper thing for the future.
But you could just sell the land to Dublin Airport, accept their offer, sell the land and let them crack on with it.
Listen, not alone did we offer that. We offered them to arbitrate on the price. What better offer could they have got? Now.
And who would do the arbitration?
Oh, they can select, you'd select two or three arbitrators. It's easy to do arbitration on the value of land.
So why do you think they haven't taken you up on that offer?
I'm extremely puzzled by it because it was an offer that I never thought I'd make to them after 30 years of fighting to build a terminal. But we said, okay, we're going to throw in the towel here and do it. And then they wouldn't agree to arbitrate the price.
Mm.
Now, don't ask me why. It just short-sighted, lack of vision by them to see that they can avoid this $2.2 billion expenditure and double the capacity of Dublin Airport for the same cost. Much more economically, if any economist looking at it would say, why are you doing that? You know, when you can double the capacity for the same money and solve your traffic off the motorway problem at the same time. So the economic reality is, to be honest, it just mind-boggles me.
We're going to have local elections in June. We're going to have a general election by March of next year at the latest. Sinn Féin is leading in the polls. It's come back a bit, but it's still leading in the polls and could well be part of the lead the next government and could well do very well in the local elections. So what's have you engaged with Sinn Féin on your plan?
No, I haven't engaged with any politician essentially on it because essentially this is not about who's in power. It's about what's good for Ireland Inc. It's not.
But the people in power will have a big say in this.
Well, they will. They'll fail or succeed.
Clearly, the local councillors in Fingal will.
Yeah.
And the national government will too. I mean, they set aviation policy.
Well, they'll fail or succeed on doing the right thing for the country. That's essentially what politicians are supposed to do. And I don't think Sinn Féin will have any different or magic wand that'll change the things that have done in airports without building the capacity. Don't build the capacity, well, then the economy stagnates. And that's a failure for politicians.
So why haven't you approached the Minister for Transport on this?
We were with Minister Ross when he was there.
That is a while ago now.
That's a while back, yeah. But Minister Ryan, we wrote to him and asked for a meeting.
Particularly around your plan for sustainable aviation fuel. You would think that he would...
Oh, well, that's something he should embrace because that is his future, is sustainable aviation fuel. And we have to persuade the European Union as well to help with this sustainable aviation fuel because it's a must-have for Europe. We cannot afford to damage our climate any more than we've already done. And taking carbon out of the atmosphere, decarbonising the atmosphere, is something sustainable aviation fuel can help with. You know? So I believe it's the future vision for Ireland.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being it's absolutely going to happen, how would you rate your chances?
Well, 10, I would go, it'll happen. But whether it happens in my lifetime under my stewardship is another matter. But it has to happen for Ireland, full stop. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. So it's a 10 out of 10 for it happening. As I say, whether it'll happen in my lifetime is another.
Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, on it happening in your lifetime.
I'm not going to bet on it.
All right. Ulrich McAvaddy, thank you for joining us.
Kieran, thank you.
Okay, that's it for this week from Inside Business. My thanks to Ulrich McAvady for joining me on the show. John Casey produced this episode with JJ Vernon on sound. Thanks also to our sponsor EY for its continued support. Remember, as a subscriber to the Irish Times, you can get the latest business news straight into your inbox by signing up to our Business Today email at irishtimes.com. And you can also follow the Irish Times business feed on X, LinkedIn and Facebook each day. I'm Ciarán Hancock. Until next time, take care.
The Irish Times Inside Business Podcast, in association with EY, building a better working world.